Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. This evening, I'm going to be discussing a section of scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. So we're going to take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 20. But before we go there, I'd like to give you some background. With regard to 1 Peter. First of all, let me say that his name was Petros. And when Jesus first met him in John chapter 1, his name was changed from Simon to Petros. So Jesus gave to Peter his new name the first time that he met him. Now, so throughout the Word of God, we have the new name motif. And so God gave Peter his new name, knowing what he was going to accomplish through Peter over time. So God does not have to wait. God, through his sovereign election, chose Peter before the fleeing down of the universe into nothingness. And so God knew Petros. And so in time, we see that reality, that archetype reality come to pass through the life. So we know some of his background, we know some of his post, and he was always born. And there were times when he was not discreet with that, but he was other. And he grew up in Christ. And so this man opened the doors to the church, to the book of Acts, and he had the key to the kingdom of heaven. That is, he preached the gospel, the inaugural sermon for the church. And the theme of Peter's astounding discourse was to finish work for Christ, accomplished through the Christ. This was a complete, this was a man who had to change powerfully and dramatically by the Spirit of God and by the filling of the Spirit. This man became the lion of Pentecost. It was a very good leader of the first century church. So this letter, we believe, was written around AD 60 or so. And of course, the need was persecuted. It is interesting that Peter knew Jesus' own sufferings as the cornerstone of his exhortation. So he speaks to the people of God in order to encourage them in their struggle with the throne. The first empire-wide persecution of Christians started or happened in AD 259 under the emperor. But they were all all these evil persecutions. So this man is writing to believers to encourage them, and he wants them to stand strong in their faith. So chapter 1, verse 2, Peter writes, elect according to the foreknowledge or prognosis, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto, listen very carefully to the word, unto obedience. Very important word in Christian doctrine, obedience. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have the Old Testament imagery that you're kind of sprinkling. And you and I as believers understand the efficacious nature of the Christ, to speak about the efficacy of his blood. We need to talk more about the blood of Christ. When you get tired, please read through the book of Hebrews. And what the book of Hebrews has to say about the blood of Christ and what the book of Hebrews about the trot of the blood of somebody. We live in a time where there are those who are dismissed and treat the blood of Christ as something trite and important to church. And this, of course, is your enemy, because you and I understand the centrality of the blood of Christ to our salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. The scripture tells us this. We are blood-bought wives. We are blood-bought saints. That is the teaching of the scripture. And so he goes on to speak in verse 2, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. And so in chapter 1, verse 13, there's an exhortation to it. Then, in verse 18, Peter writes, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, that is purchased back with corruptible things as silver from your vain conversation or really virgin life. And received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without out spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifest in the times before him. So, in Peter's theological thinking, in Peter's theology, the blood of Christ, what do we have really as faith without the blood of Christ? An intellectualized faith, pseudo-intellectual, moralistic harangues of some point. Now, the blood of Christ must be central. Okay? The blood of Christ is central to our salvation. And so, Peter wants us to think about and to meditate upon the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us. If you would read the book of Leviticus and read about the sacrifices there and what involved or what was involved in the sacrificial system, you would the lab provided Bobcat food that had all the food out. Now, this could not be any lab. It has to be a lab that's dear to the precious to me. If the owner could take the food that lamb and take it to support the priest, it was the owner's job to open up the carotid box and allow the blood to be pumped out of the animal spot. Then the animal got skinned so that one could see that there was no physical defect on the skin. Then the animal was placed upon the altar where it was consumed. And so we have the Holocaust of the daughter. This, of course, is a picture of Christ. And as the animal died and the heart pumped the blood out, of course, the owner would be slacked, but so he identified with the that is the owner, identified with this life. And the owner was a cogent that sin caused life. And so it was a powerful symbol of what Christ would do for him. We do not see that kind of teaching anymore. We don't have that in the church anymore. So we have an intellectualized faith, real tight, real good. But the picture of that living app, that was precious to me. Been given up in that band. Such a very dramatic effect. And God tosses people in this place. They would know that they would understand that without the shepherd's book, there's no picture for sin. Genesis 3, book, the couple, then they bait themselves and ate plant that. God, of course, may we have the symbol of a life we give up and pointing toward 33 AD, that Jesus would come and he would give this life account for the sin. So Peter tells us in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Psalm 1 exhorts us to meditate on God. We need to meditate on think very deeply about God. Joshua chapter 1 talks about meditating on God. We need to solve God's thinking deeply about it. We need to once again discover the precious blood of Christ and what it meant for our salvation. Good evening. God bless you. And this is our discipleship. Good night.